Hare Krishna. So welcome everyone this morning. Pray for your blessings and permission to try to share something on Chaitanya Charitamrita. We're reading from today the Madhya Lila, chapter number 8, entitled Talks Between the Lord and Ramananda Rai. And we're reading from text number 132 to 138. So I will just read the English for the verses up to 138, and then we'll do together. So this is Ramananda Rai and Mahaprabhu continuing their discussions. Chaitanya Mahaprabhu has come in the mood of a preacher. So Mahaprabhu has different conversations. He has conversations where he's trying to transform people. So then he has a conversation, for example, with Prakashananda Saraswati, where he transforms the Mayavadis into the greatest Vaishnavas. So some of Mahaprabhu's conversations are all about transforming others. Other conversations that Mahaprabhu has, for example, with Rupa Goswami in Prayag, Allahabad, then Mahaprabhu's purpose is education, systematically educating Rupa Goswami and all the bhakti tattva, all the truths of devotion. But then some of Mahaprabhu's conversations, as is this one, are all about exploring, about edifying, about elevating his understanding. He's taking the humble position and he's hearing from Ramananda Rai. So similarly for all of us, there'll be times in the world where we're going out and we're trying to transform people. There'll be times when we are with those who are practicing spiritual life and we're trying to educate them and help them in their journey. But each one of us are also patients and we need to hear, we need to elevate and we need to nourish ourselves, and therefore we also should have conversations of Harikatha in our life where we are also nourishing ourselves. As one devotee likes to say, we should get lost and found in Harikatha. So this is what Mahaprabhu is doing with Ramananda Rai. So Ramananda Rai is feeling incredibly humbled. Now, how is it Mahaprabhu is hearing from me? But Mahaprabhu is eager. He says, "Em ami eka batul, tumi dvitiya batul, ata eva amai tomai haya samatul." Mahaprabhu says, "Ami eka batul, I am one madman. Tumi dvitiya batul, and you are a second madman. Ata eva amai tomai, between me and you, hoya samatul, there's no difference." So when one madman and another madman come together, then mad things happen. So Mahaprabhu is very happy to hear from Ramananda Rai, and Ramananda Rai is relishing the conversation. Text number 132. Sri Ramananda Rai said, "I'm just a dancing puppet. And you pull the strings. Whichever way you make me dance, I will dance. My dear Lord, my tongue is just like a stringed instrument, and you are its player. Therefore, I simply vibrate whatever arises in your mind." Amazing. So many things are going on in Mahaprabhu's mind, and Ramananda Rai is saying, all I'm expressing is what you're dictating to me through your own mind. Sometimes it's said that the Gita is the words of Krishna. The Srimad Bhagavatam is the activities of Krishna. But the Chaitanya Charitamrita is the mind of Krishna. So if you want to know what's going on in Mahaprabhu's mind, then you read Chaitanya Charitamrita. And Ramananda Rai said, "I'm just a stringed instrument, and whatever is in your mind, that is what is coming out through my mouth." Ramananda Rai then began to speak on Krishna Tattva. Krishna is the Supreme Personality of Godhead, he said. He is personally the original Godhead, the source of all incarnations and the cause of all causes. There are innumerable Vaikuntha planets as well as innumerable incarnations. In the material world, there are also innumerable universes, and Krishna is the supreme resting place for all of them. The transcendental body of Sri Krishna is eternal and full of bliss and knowledge. He is the son of Nanda Maharaj. He is full of all opulences and potencies, as well as all spiritual mellows. Krishna, who is known as Govinda, is the supreme controller. He has an eternal, blissful, spiritual body. He is the origin of all. He has no other origin, for he is the prime cause of all causes. This verse is from Brahma Samhita 5.1. So now we go on to today's verse. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Shilesi Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki. In the spiritual realm of Vrindavan, Krishna is the spiritual, ever-fresh Cupid. He is worshipped by the chanting of the Karma Gayatri Mantra with the spiritual seed Klim. Purport. So the purport is very long. It's 4 pages. So what I'm going to do is just to maybe make it a little easier to follow. I'm not going to chant all the Sanskrit and Bengali, just so we can continue the flow. Otherwise, it may be too much information. Is that okay? Yeah, just to... Okay, purport. Vrindavan is described in the Brahma Samhita 5.56 in this way. The spiritual realm of Vrindavan is always spiritual. The goddess of fortune and the gopis are always present there. They are Krishna's beloveds, and all of them are as spiritual as Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna is the supreme person and is the husband of all the gopis and the goddess of fortune. The trees in Vrindavan are wish-fulfilling trees. The land is made of touchstone, and the water is nectar. Words are musical vibrations, and all movements are dancing. The flute is the Lord's constant companion. The planet Goloka Vrindavan is self-luminous like the sun and is full of spiritual bliss. The perfection of life lies in tasting that spiritual existence. Therefore, everyone should cultivate its knowledge. In Vrindavan, spiritual cows are always supplying spiritual milk. Not a single moment is wasted there. Or in other words, there is no past, present, or future. Not a single particle of time is wasted. Within this material universe, the devotees worship that transcendental abode as Goloka Vrindavan. Lord Brahma himself said, "Let me worship that spiritual land where Krishna is present." This transcendental Vrindavan is not appreciated by those who are not devotees or self-realized souls, because this Vrindavan Dham is all spiritual. The pastimes of the Lord there are also spiritual. None are material. According to a prayer by Srila Narottam Das Thakur, Prarthana 1, "When will Lord Nityananda have mercy upon me so that I can realize the uselessness of material pleasure? When will my mind be cleansed of all material dirt so that I will be able to feel the presence of spiritual Vrindavan? When will I be attracted to the instructions of the Goswamis so that I will be able to understand what is Radha and Krishna and what is Vrindavan?" These verses indicate that one first has to be purified of all material desires and all attraction for fruitive activity and speculative knowledge if one wishes to understand Vrindavan. Now the purport will go on to a different subject, so I'll just pause here and just reflect on this, and then I'll come back to the purport. Ramananda Rai is revealing to Mahaprabhu the ultimate cherished destination of every single soul. The famous Christian writer C.S. Lewis, he once said, "If I find within myself a desire which no experience of this world can fulfill, then I must conclude I was made for a different world." Whatever we do in this world to fulfill our desires ultimately is frustrated. The only place where all desires can be fulfilled is Vrindavan. Therefore, Vrindavan is known as Chintamani Dham, the place where everything is completely fulfilling to the heart. I remember one year I was leaving Vrindavan, and just the day before I was leaving, one Brajabasi, he told me, "Where are you going?" I said, "I'm going back to London." He made the worst look on his face when he heard. He said, "You're in Vrindavan. Why do you want to go back to London?" And then he said something. He said, "In Vrindavan, all dreams are reality. And outside of Vrindavan, all reality is a dream. He said, you're in Vrindavan, why do you want to leave? And then I remembered this prayer by Narottam Das Thakur who said, but who will see Vrindavan? Only one, Vishaya Chadiya, Kabe Shuddha Habe Man. Only one who has a Shuddha Man, a pure mind, devoid of all sense gratification. Only such a person can see Vrindavan. So I said, I would love to stay here, but I'm not qualified to see Vrindavan. Therefore, I have to leave Vrindavan. I have to serve. And then maybe with some mercy, I can come back and see the real Vrindavan. Otherwise, what will you see? Bhaktivinoda Thakur, he says, the Dham is like an ocean which is full of jewels, but is covered by a thin layer of oil. And if you have a superficial vision, you will look and glance and think, oh, this is an ocean of oil. But only if you have the mercy to penetrate beyond the superficial covering of Vrindavan, then you can see. Once I was at Radhakund, and I was reading Navavraja Mahima. And Navavraja Mahima, the spiritual vision of Radhakund is given. There are swings, and the ghats are studded with gemstones. And everywhere there are blossoming flowers with jasmine in the breeze. And I'm looking around and all I'm seeing is rubbish, dogs, someone trying to sell me a puja. What will we see? What will we see with these eyes? Pashyanapi na pashyati. Seeing, but not seeing. Because darshan means one has to have spiritual. Premanjana churita bhakti vilochanena. You have eyes salved with love, then you can see Vrindavan. Otherwise you cannot. To go to Vrindavan, one needs a resident of Vrindavan to take them there. One needs a resident of Vrindavan to introduce them. In spiritual life, no one is self-made. Everyone is being taken by another Vaishnav. There's no such thing as a self-made Vaishnav. Therefore, even Mahaprabhu is taking help to go to Vrindavan. It's said that Mahaprabhu took Diksha initiation from Ishwarapuri. But then he took sannyas initiation from Keshava Bharati. But then some commentators say he took Rag Marg initiation from Ramananda Rai. Rag Marg initiation means the initiation which takes you into the spontaneous loving pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Of course, none of these personalities considered them Mahaprabhu's guru, yet still it's explained like that. That Mahaprabhu accepted them as guru so that guru would take them to Vrindavan. So the guru is expert. The relationship with the spiritual master is perhaps the most wondrous relationship in this world because it's the relationship which is completely founded upon the desire to go back to Vrindavan. We may have many relationships with many devotees and of course, attaining Krishna is within those relationships, but there are many other concerns in those relationships as well. But the very basis of the relationship with the guru is that now here is a person who will take me to Vrindavan. And that's why that relationship is very, very special. And how the guru takes you to Vrindavan is also very mystical. In a book called the Mukta Charita, Raghunath Das Goswami is expressing his immense gratitude for his guru. Of course, he received the mercy of Nityananda and therefore attained such spiritual wealth in his life. But in a beautiful verse in the Mukta Charita, Raghunath Das Goswami says, my guru gave me many gifts. Namashreshtam manumapi sachiputram atrasvarupam. Rupam tasya grajam murupurim mathurim gostavatim. Radha kundam girivaram maharadhika madhavasam. Prapto yasya patita kripaya shri gurum tam natosmi. Beautifully explains. These are all the gifts that my guru gave me. What is the first gift that my guru gave me? Nama shreshtam. He introduced me to Nam. He gave me the holy name. Because Nam Avinu Kali Kale Nahi Ara Dharma. In Kali Yuga, there's no other dharma apart from Nam. You do anything. Archanam, Yajna, Tapasya, Svadhyay, study, austerity, deity worship, fire sacrifices. None of it carries any weight unless there is Nam. So the first thing that the Guru does is he introduces you to Nam and he helps you to become attached to Nam. But then what's the second gift that the Guru gives? Sachi Putram. He introduced me not just to Nam, but he introduced me to Mahaprabhu. Because without Mahaprabhu's grace, jadi gaurana hoite, tabeko heito. Without Gauranga, what will become of us? We need that mercy, we need the grace. Therefore, the spiritual master is the one who connects you to Gauranga. Yatha yatha gaura padaravinde. Only when you jump into the pastimes, the oceanic pastimes of Gauranga and navigate the depths of Gaura's pastimes, his oceanic pastimes, then one will emerge from that ocean and arrive at the shore of Vrindavan to see Radha and Krishna. You can't reach Radha and Krishna unless you go through Gauranga. So the second gift the Guru gives is connection to Gauranga. Then what does the Guru do? Atra Svarupam Tasya Grajam. He introduces you to Svarup Damada Goswami, Rupa Goswami, and Sanatan Goswami. Why are these personalities so important? Because without Svarup Damada Goswami's diaries, one can know nothing about Mahaprabhu. Without Rupa Goswami's philosophical exposition on rasa, one cannot know anything about the transcendental reality. And without Sanatan Goswami's sambandha gyan and emphasis on Vaishnav culture and etiquette, one cannot factually make any progress in spiritual life. So the third thing that the Guru does is he introduces you to the acharyas. Not just introduces you, but helps you to have a relationship with the acharyas. And then what does the Guru do? Mathura Purim Gostavatim Radha Kundam Girivaram. Then what the Guru does is he introduces you to Mathura Vrindavan. There is a land where every step is a dance, where every word is a song, where every act is an act of love, where all water is nectar, where every tree fulfills all desires. A place where all dreams are reality. That place is Vrindavan, the Guru tells you. And not just that, the Guru introduces you to Radha Kund, Girivaram, Govardhan Hill. Why does the Guru introduce you to Vrindavan and specifically these places? Shishi Radha Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai. Because Vrindavan is not just a place of pastimes. Yes, the Guru introduces you to Radha Kund and Govardhan Hill, not just because of the pastimes that took place there, but because these places carry a spirit of complete absorption in Krishna. When you think of Radha Kund, when you think of Govardhan Hill, we're not meant to just think of the pastimes, but what we're meant to internalize is the very spirit of the interactions between Krishna and his devotees in these places. And therefore, to understand the heart of Vrindavan is to understand not just what happened there, but the spirit of the heart of the loving exchanges that go on there. Therefore, what the Guru does is he introduces you and connects you to Nam. He introduces you and connects you to Gauranga. He introduces you and connects you to all the acharyas. And then he introduces you and connects you to Vrindavan. And once those things are in place, Ahradika Madhavasam, then you can enter the transcendent divine pastimes of Radhika and Madhav. So the guru is very, very expert. We may not know what the guru is doing. But what the guru is doing is he's planning, he's plotting, he's making various arrangements, he's meditating, he's expending all of his energy, he's thinking every which way he can to give you all of these gifts. Because if you take all of these gifts, then eventually you can enter into Vrindavan. And so the guru does it in many amazing ways. Many amazing ways in which we don't even know. Years ago, we used to, on the Bhakta program, we used to show Karate Kid. I don't know if any of you, it's a bona fide movie, they chant Hare Krishna in there, in one scene. But we used to show that film for anyone who's seen it, because it's very interesting. Daniel or Daniel's son, who's the boy who wants to learn karate, goes to Mr. Miyagi. And Mr. Miyagi tells him, yeah, I'll teach you karate, no problem. But then what does he do for the next weeks? He just tells him, like, scrub the car. Is it sand the fence? Whatever else he does, you know. Lay down the patio. He tells him to do all these different things. And then after some time, Daniel's son, he's like, you're just getting me to do all your housework, all your DIY. I thought I came here to learn karate. And then there's that famous scene where he, you know, goes into a fighting move with him, and then he realizes how through all of those seemingly household chores, he actually learned all the karate moves. So the guru is like that, planning and somehow introducing us, connecting us to all of these things so we can go to Vrindavan. So Mahaprabhu is taking Ramananda Rai like that. And Ramananda Rai is introducing Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. And this is the cherished aspiration of the Vaishnavas. Now the Guru also gives one other gift, which is mentioned in this verse. And the other gift that the Guru does is he gives the disciple Gayatri mantras. So I'm just going to continue reading the purport, because now Prabhupada talks about the Gayatri mantras. In reference to the words aprakrita, navina madan, aprakrita refers to that which is the very opposite of the material conception. The Mayavadis consider this to be zero or impersonal, but that is not the case. Everything in the material world is dull, but in the spiritual world everything is alive. The desire for enjoyment is present both in Krishna and in his parts and parcels, the living entities. In the spiritual world, such desires are also spiritual. No one should mistakenly consider such desires to be material. In the material world, if one is sexually inclined and enjoys sex life, he enjoys something temporary. His enjoyment vanishes after a few minutes. However, in the spiritual world, the same enjoyment may be there, but it never vanishes. It is continuously enjoyed. In the spiritual world, such sex pleasure appears to the enjoyer to be more and more relishable with each new feature. In the material world, however, sex enjoyment becomes distasteful after a few minutes only, and it is never permanent. Because Krishna appears very much sexually inclined, he is called the new Cupid in the spiritual world. There is no material inebriety in such desire, however. Srila Prabhupada is now introducing us to the Karma Gayatri. I'll come back to the Gayatri mantras in a second. But here in the Karma Gayatri, Krishna is explained to be the ever-fresh Cupid. Once Brahmananda Prabhu, he was at university and he submitted a dissertation. He was doing some psychology or something like that. And he was getting into Krishna consciousness. He knew the philosophy. And therefore in his dissertation he wrote, love makes the whole world go round. Because prema is the central concept of Vaishnav theology. So in his thesis he wrote, bringing in Krishna consciousness, love makes the world go round. He gave it to his professor, and his professor failed him. He said, "You're completely wrong. Love does not make the world go round. Lust makes the world go round." And then Brahmananda Prabhu took it back to Prabhupada and he said, "Prabhupada, just see the ignorance." Prabhupada said, "He's right. He's right. The whole material world is going on the basis of lust. Pumsa, striya, mithuni, bhava, meitam. The attraction between male and female is the basic principle of material existence. Therefore, Cupid is extremely active within the materialistic sphere. It's said that Cupid is holding many, many different arrows. It's described in different ways. But in one place it's described Cupid's effect on someone in this world. The first hit of Cupid's effect is known as harshanam, attraction, fascination, immediately to grab someone's attention. That's the first hit of Cupid. The second hit of Cupid is known as rochanam, seduction, basically bringing the mind of the conditioned soul in, bewildering the mind with different thoughts, captivating, attracting, attaching. Then the third hit of Cupid, mohanam. Complete bewilderment. First attracted, then captivated, then mohanam. Take out all the intelligence and cover by the illusory energy. Then fourth hit of Cupid, shoshanam. Suck the energy. Suck the energy. Suck the life. And the final hit of Cupid, madanam. Kill. Death. Completely render the person deathless. Not deathless. Completely dead. This is how Cupid functions in the material world. Harshanam, Rochanam, Mohanam, Shoshanam, and ultimately Maranam. This is how everyone is being conquered by Cupid in the material world. Everyone at different stages, in different ways, in different forums, at different times, being conquered by Cupid. But Krishna is Pushpa Banaya. In the Karma Gayatri, Krishna is glorified as Pushpa Banaya. He is also holding an arrow with many, a bow with many flower arrows. And Krishna is also capturing the mind. Actually, Krishna does the same thing to you. Harshanam, he attracts you. And then, Rochanam, he bewilders you, attaches you to the process, to the devotees, to the... And then, Mohanam, he takes all your intelligence away to be successful or have any desire for the material world. And then Rochanam, he sucks all your energy. No more impetus to try for so many things in the world. And then Maranam, he basically kills your material life. So Krishna is doing the same thing. So we all have the choice. Do we want to be attracted by the Cupid? Or do we want to be attracted by Krishna, who is the transcendental Cupid? Therefore, when you go to Vrindavan and you do parikrama, the first place that traditionally, according to Vrindavan folklore, traditionally the first place you go to in Vrindavan when you start your parikrama is you go to Dwadasaditya Hill, and on the top of that hill is Madan Mohan Temple, and it's said that every pilgrim should begin their pilgrimage of Vrindavan there. Because first one goes to Madan Mohan, because here, Narottam is saying, Are Vishaya Chadiya Kabe Shude Habe Man Kabe Hama Hera Bo Shri Vrindavan. Only when my mind is cleansed of lust, then I will be able to see Vrindavan. So the first thing the pilgrim does when they go to Vrindavan is they go to Madan Mohan and they pray that, let me, at least for this time, be free of lusty desires, be free of selfish concern, be free of all these concerns with the temporary pleasures of this world, so that I can focus, so that I can be present, so that I can see Krishna in Vrindavan. And so that's the first place that the pilgrim begins. According to Vrindavan folklore, it's also said that another reason that you begin your pilgrimage there is because when you walk down from Madan Mohan temple, then you come to Dwadasa Aditya hill. This is a very famous hill because just 10 meters before, or maybe a little more, before it is Kaliagat. And that's the place where Krishna jumped into the Yamuna to chastise Kaliya. But after Krishna danced on Kaliya, bathed in the Yamuna, did his water sports, then he came back onto the shore and he lied down on this hill. But because Krishna had just been in the Yamuna and his body was shivering, the one sun expanded into 12 suns to heat up Krishna's body. And so according to Vrindavan folklore, one should begin their pilgrimage in Vrindavan by taking shelter also of the place where one sun expanded into 12 to heat Krishna's body, because that is signifying that while you're in Vrindavan, your bhajan should become 12 times more intense. Your focus should become 12 times more intense. Your desire to vratani chere haritoshanani, your desire to fulfill your vow that in this pilgrimage I will only remember Krishna, that determination should become 12 times stronger. And then maybe someone will see Vrindavan. So like this, there is the Cupid who is bewildering everyone in this world. But then there's the transcendental Cupid, Krishna, who is capturing the mind. Rupa Goswami says, Yuvatinam yatha yuni yunam cha yuvato yatha mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvai. He says, Krishna, just as the mind of young girls are naturally attracted to the minds of young boys, and just as the minds of young boys are naturally attracted towards the girls, mano bhi ramate tadvan mano me ramatam tvai, may my mind be as naturally attracted towards you, Krishna. So this is what is happening. So this is why the Karma Gayatri is so powerful, because the Karma Gayatri is connecting one to Pushpabanaya, Gopi Jana Vallabha. The Karma Gayatri is said to be the culmination of all the Gayatri mantras. Okay, let me read, because Prabhupada explains this. Gayantam trayate yasmad gayatri tvam tata shmita. One who chants the Gayatri mantra is gradually delivered from the material clutches. In other words, that which delivers one from material entanglement is called Gayatri. An explanation of the Gayatri mantra can be found in the Madhya Lila, chapter 21, text 125. The Karma Gayatri mantra is just like a Vedic hymn, but it is the supreme personality of Godhead himself. There is no difference between Karma Gayatri and Krishna. Both are composed of 24 and a half syllables. When one takes second initiation, then one is given the Gayatri mantras by the Guru. So in our Vaishnav system, there are 7 Gayatri mantras. There's the Brahma Gayatri. Then there is 2 Gayatris dedicated towards the Guru. Then there are 2 Gayatris dedicated towards Gauranga. And then there are 2 Gayatris which are a meditation on Krishna. So like this, one is given 7 Gayatri mantras. Then we hear, Dhyayan stuvam stasya yasyastri sandhyam. At 3 sandhyams in the day, when the sun rises, when the sun is at the equinox, and when the sun is setting, then one is then turning to these Gayatri mantras, turning away from the world, and then developing an internal meditation. The word Gayatri is a composite. Gayanam means to sing. And Trayate means to free. So Gayatri literally means that mantra which is sung and which then frees one from the material energy. And so the idea of the Gayatri mantra is a gift by the Guru to allow us three times a day to then lift ourselves up from the material world. And if one looks at the progression of the seven Gayatri mantras, then gradually what the Gayatri mantras are doing is they're taking you from the material world into the transcendent reality of Krishna. The first Gayatri is known as the Brahma Gayatri. So the Brahma Gayatri in traditional Hindu culture is a meditation on the Savitur, the sun god. Illumination. Srila Prabhupada explains that for Vaishnavas, we are meditating on Surya Narayan. We are meditating on Krishna, who is giving all the power to the sun god. The idea of the Brahma Gayatri is it's meant to signify illumination out of ignorance. At the moment, we're in the dark material world. And the idea of the Brahma Gayatri is a prayer that let me be illumined. Let me be illumined with spiritual knowledge. Desham evanukam partham aham agyana jamtamaha nasayam yatma bhavasto gyana deepena bhashvata. Krishna says, I destroy all the darkness of ignorance with the light of knowledge. Krishna surya sama hoya maya andakar. Where there is Krishna, the son of Krishna, there can be no darkness. So when one is chanting the first Gayatri mantra, the meditation is, let me be illumined. Let me be illumined out of the darkness of this world. The next Gayatri mantras are for the Guru. Those Gayatri mantras are very important because, yes, one will escape the material world and one wants to go to the spiritual world, but the Guru is the one who will show the journey to the spiritual world. The Guru is the one who will give the strength. The Guru is the one who will give the knowledge. Therefore, in the Gayatri, one is then meditating on the Guru. As the Guru is enthused, let me also similarly be enthused. May the Guru impel me. May the Guru enthuse me. May the Guru empower me to go on that journey to Vrindavan. The next two verses of the Gayatri Mantra are then a meditation on Gauranga. Because without Gauranga's mercy in Kali Yuga, no one can factually make that journey. And therefore, in those Gayatri Mantras, we're meditating on the incredible compassion of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu to give everyone an opportunity. And we're praying that we may be infused with that Gaura Shakti, that mercy of Gauranga. Equipped with illumination, equipped with the Guru's mercy, equipped with Gauranga's mercy, the last two verses of the Gayatri Mantra are then a meditation on Krishna. Now you're ready to meditate on Krishna. So the first of the two Gayatri Mantras which are dealing with Krishna is known as the Gopal Gayatri. This appears many, many times in Vedic literature. Gopal Gayatri contains three names of Krishna. One name of Krishna in the Gopal Gayatri is dealing with Madan Mohan. Another name in the Gopal Gayatri is dealing with Govindaji. And another name in the Gopal Gayatri is dealing with Gopinath. Now this is very, very significant because these three deities are the presiding deities of Sambandha, Abhideya, and Prayojana. And therefore, the Gopal Gayatri begins our meditation on Krishna, but it meditates beginning at Krishna's lotus feet. The Madan Mohan is said, isn't it? When Vajranab was crafting the deity of Krishna, then it said that he went to Uttara, because she was the only one still present on earth who had seen Krishna. So she described Krishna, Vajranab made a deity, Uttara saw the first deity and said, perfect from the feet to the waist. That was Madan Mohan. Then he made another deity, Uttara looked at it, said, perfect from the waist to the neck. And that was Gopinath. And then third deity made it. And Uttara said, perfect, the face. That was Govindaji. So these deities are gradually revealing Krishna to one who meditates. Therefore, the Gopal Gayatri is a meditation ultimately which brings us to the smiling face of Krishna. And then the Karma Gayatri is said to be the culmination of everything, because the Karma Gayatri is primarily a meditation on Gopijana Vallabha. And that means the most confidential pastimes of Krishna in Vrindavan. Something which probably is beyond my realization to speak about at this point. But that is how the Gayatri is actually, you can see now that those who are gifted with the Gayatri have an amazing opportunity. Because three times a day you can turn away from the world. You can enter into a meditation and you can elevate yourself beyond the darkness of the material world, grasping the mercy of Guru, immersing oneself in the grace of Gauranga, and then beginning a meditation on Krishna through the Gopal Gayatri, and then ultimately through the Karma Gayatri, trying to enter into the transcendent realm of Vrindavan. One of Srila Prabhupada's godbrothers, he beautifully explains Vrindavan. He says, in Vrindavan, Krishna is more human than superhuman. Krishna is more natural than supernatural. In Vrindavan, Krishna loves his devotees as much as they love him. Krishna needs his devotees as much as they need him. And Krishna is desperate after his devotees as much as they are desperate after him. Sahaja Priti, natural love. This is the highest conception of connection with the Supreme Lord in Vrindavan. And this is what the Gayatri Mantra is offering. One may say, and I'll end on this point because I'm going over time. I won't finish the purport. There's too much to talk about here. One may say, why we need Gayatri? Nam is there. You said Nam is everything. Why you need Gayatri mantras? In his conversation with Prakashananda Saraswati, Mahaprabhu cites a beautiful verse. He says, Krishna mantra hoite pabe samsara mochan, Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna racharan. He says, Krishna mantra hoite pabe samsara mochan. The Krishna mantra, the Gayatri mantra, specifically here talking about the Gopal mantra, samsar mochan, it helps one to become free of material influence. Krishna nama hoite pabe Krishna racharan, but is Krishna nam that will take you to Krishna's lotus feet? Is Krishna's nam that will awaken prema? So the idea is that the Krishna mantra and the Krishna nam are actually working side by side. And therefore the Krishna mantras are helping one to purify their mind and intensify their focus in nam. And thus those Krishna mantras, the Gayatri mantras, are also extremely important. And ultimately it's said that when one is immersed in nam, when one is actually tasting nam, then their chanting of the Gayatri mantra actually just becomes a complete meditation on Krishna. So it facilitates ultimately the desire of the pure devotee to be fixed on Krishna, because the Gayatri mantras are ultimately full of names of Krishna. So in this way, today we just kind of went through this purport, and just to say, in 1 minute we talked about how Ramananda Rai is taking Mahaprabhu to Vrindavan. In order to go to Vrindavan, someone must take you. And the person that will take you is the Guru. The Guru takes you to Vrindavan by giving you many, many gifts, by connecting you to many, many different things, and then you become qualified to enter into the pastimes of Radha and Krishna. In Vrindavan, Krishna is functioning as the transcendental Cupid. In the material world, everyone is being bewildered by Cupid. So ultimately, if you want to, it depends who you want to be conquered by. We won't conquer lust by any other way than becoming completely enchanted with Krishna. In the Padyavali, Rupa Goswami says in a beautiful verse, Kashaya nacha bojana diniyaman navavane vasato vyakhyana datava muni vetabaraj chittod bhavakshiyate kintu shvita kalinda shailatanaya tireshu vikridato govindasya padaravinda bhajana rambasya leshadapi. Beautiful verse. Rupa Goswami in Padyavali says, you want to be free of lust? Want to be free of sex desire? Kashayan. You're not going to do it by putting on saffron cloth. Nacha bojanadi niyaman. You're not going to do it by having strict vows of I only eat this much, I only do this. Nava vane vasato. You're not going to do it by going to the forest and thinking I'm just going to chant 64 rounds in the forest. Vyakhyanad, you're not going to do it by study. It's not going to work. Munivrata bharaj, you're not going to do it by taking a vow of solitude to say, I won't speak to anyone, I won't be with anyone, it will be just be me and Krishna. It won't work. Govindasya padara vinda bhajana rambhasya lesha dapi. There is one young boy, and he is standing on the banks of the Yamuna. He's playing a flute. He's standing in a threefold bending form. He's casting sidelong glances at his devotees. And if somehow your vision reaches his vision, your eyes meet his eyes, then maybe if you develop some love for Krishna, then maybe you can overcome lust. And therefore, the transcendental Cupid is who we're trying to become attracted by. And therefore, the gift of the spiritual master is the Gayatri Mantras. The Gayatri Mantras which then take one on a systematic meditation which culminates in the Karma Gayatri, which is the meditation on Gopijana Vallabh, that Krishna who is performing incredible pastimes of love, natural love, in Vrindavan. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. It's 8:45 and here it says Saturday, class finishes at 8:45. So I don't know, I don't want to nowadays I'm traveling through the manor, so I have to be more careful not to break the rules, you know. Breakfast is always late, okay. Big breakfast. That used to be a TV show. Alright. Yeah, I don't mind. Qualified devotees are here. Now, these look like they're going to be hard questions. Tarina, Vishwamba Prabhu.
Thank you, Maharaj. Beautiful class. I was thinking, because this subject is on the board, and you have explained very nicely the Gayatri Mantra. For many years, I mean, it's something that I never questioned myself. Well, maybe I did. I questioned myself, but I never questioned anyone about it. The Brahmana trait, not Gayatri Mantra, that you wear, I never understood its, perhaps maybe its formality. I mean, I don't want to put you on the spot because my question, it can be also taken, you know, as controversial thing, but why, if it's such a sacred item given by the Guru, why can only be touched by the body of a man, but not by the body of a woman, Vaishnava? Sorry, I know you are
a sannyasi. So you're going to give the answer? Well, according to the Vedic system, we understand that there are, we have different bodies which come with different conditionings. And from the Vedic point of view, then there are certain boundaries of what can be done within certain bodies. In the bhakti point of view, we understand that ultimately that doesn't limit one's opportunities to be absorbed in Krishna. Therefore, it's said that there's certain limitations within the body of a female that, out of respect for the upavita, the woman is not given a thread. But still, Srila Prabhupada, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur and other acharyas gave the Gayatri mantras so that the essence of that opportunity of Brahmin initiation. Actually, see, this is the real point. Actually, I should have mentioned this. Thank you for raising it. Another reason why Gayatri mantras are important, because some say, you know, like, is second initiation important? One of the reasons Prabhupada gives why Gayatri mantra, Brahmin initiation is important is because it allows one to worship the deities. Because one cannot worship the deities if one doesn't have Gayatri mantra. And therefore the essence of Brahminical initiation and Gayatri mantras is the facility to worship the deities. So you can see that even in our system, even though a woman may not be given a thread, the essence of Brahminical initiation or Gayatri mantras, which is the opportunity to do Archana Seva, ultimately has still been offered by Prabhupada. And so in that way, there's no limitation. And then the other point is that, as I mentioned, in this day and age, Nam is the ultimate thing. And what does Mahaprabhu say about Nam? Niyamita smarane nakalaha. For Nam, there's no hard and fast rules. Anyone can do any time, in any situation. Om pavitra pavitro va. Pure, impure, you just remember Nam and immediately everything becomes perfect. So in Vedic system, there is limitations on what certain individuals can do according to their body. But that does not limit the Vaishnava scope of opportunity to absorb themselves in devotion to Krishna. Some thoughts. You see I'll just say one other thing on that. You see, sometimes we also don't, say for example, if in a, someone dies in someone's family, someone passes away, then according to Vedic system, it's said that the body is then contaminated. Why is it contaminated? Because one is overcome by a certain amount of lamentation. And that lamentation means you are now in a contaminated state. And therefore it said that if someone dies in the family, then you should not come to the temple for a certain amount of time. Right? According to Vedic regulation. But in Krishna consciousness, we don't see that so much as a limitation. Our ultimate consideration is, yena tena prakarena mana Krishna niveshaya. Fix your mind on Krishna. And so, Srila Prabhupada, he honored certain aspects of the Vedic regulation, knowing that his movement would then not be criticized or not be... But ultimately, Srila Prabhupada gave the opportunity to everyone. So there are certain Vedic things that we follow like that, yet for Vaishnavas, those things are not of primary importance. Some thoughts.
Hare Krishna Maharaj, thank you for such a wonderful class. There was so much content in there, and I thought it's unbelievable how much more that you can extract from the purport. And one of the things that you mentioned was that the Gayatri Mantra helps to free you from material desires. And something that I heard was that one should, when one is aspiring for the to take Brahmin initiation, one should be very mindful of it as to what material desires they have, because by chanting the Gayatri Mantra, it could amplify those or fulfill those desires. I don't know if you could comment on how does one, how does that balance?
Yeah, this is mentioned that the Gayatri Mantra fulfills all desires. One should be very careful what one desires. Just a side point. One time there was a husband and wife and a child. And so anyway, the genie appeared and said, "You all get one wish." So he came to the husband and said, "Like, what wish do you want? Anything, anything you want?" The husband said, like, he just wanted to get rid of, like, family life, you know. So he just said, "I just want to go to the heavens, away from everything." So, vroom, there he was in heaven. He's like, "This is it, liberation, freedom, finally." Then he went to the, then the genie went to the wife, said, what would you like?" "I just want to be with my husband." Oh no. So there he was, you know, in heaven, having a great time on the side, you know. His wife appears, "Oh no." He said, anyway, at least we're in the heavens. Genie went to the child. He goes, "What do you want?" He goes, "I just want my parents back." They both came down. It's interesting. The desires we have. You know Saint Avila of Teresa? She's, is it Saint Avila? Saint Teresa of Avila, sorry. She writes, "More tears were shed from prayers that were answered than from prayers that were ignored." Think about that. We ask for so many things, isn't it? Prabhupada tells that story of the lady who had a big toiling in the heat, carrying all of these buckets, whatever it is, clay pot on her, heavy, heavy, sweating, heavy. Boom, tripped. Bucket fell. Krishna appeared. "Yes, what would you like? You called me with such desperation. I tripped up. Can you put the bucket back on my head?" "Yes, if that's what you want." Then, all of a sudden, back walking in the heat, sweating with the bucket. "Hang on, is that what I asked for? Just to have the burden back on me?" What kind of things we ask Krishna for? Someone emailed me yesterday and said, "No, Prabhupada speaks so strongly. Everyone is looking for material desires." You know, I said, "Do you still pray that your children will be successful in the world?" "Yes." "Do you still pray that you'll have good health?" "Yes." So that's still also within the material realm. Anyway, sorry. So that was a diversion. Yes, the Gayatri Mantra also fulfills. Prabhupada gives the example of Brahma, who also was the first one initiated into the Gayatri Mantra. And what he also had, you can say, his desire was to create. That was a material function. And he became empowered to do that through the mantra. So therefore, yes, we must know what to pray for. Yeah, we have to be careful. These guys, it's amazing actually. In Sachinanda Maharaj's Gayatri book, if you read it, Sachinanda Maharaj tells of some of his experiences with I think specifically the Gopal Gayatri. And he talks about how it can fulfill material desires. Like I think he mentions one story. He was in a forest somewhere and he kind of tripped up and he fell. I don't know, it was some kind of gushing blood or something. He was in the middle of nowhere and he was just like, "I don't know how I'm going to deal with this. There ain't no doctors. I can't move. I can't do anything." And he said, "I just started chanting the Gayatri Mantra again and again and again." And he said it was miraculous. Within minutes, a scab appeared and the wound clotted like it was some kind of mystical. He said, "I realized, oh my God, the Gayatri can even do this." So you can read it, it's in his book, he writes it. A few experiences of Gayatri like that. But then he says, therefore we should be careful. Yeah? So, anything. Yeah, you have to be careful. Yes. Yeah, it's on, I think.
Bhaktisiddhanta, he was quoting about from the Christians, and it says, "Thou shalt not chant the Lord's names in vain." Vain means vanity. It means for me. But then there's, on the other hand, it's for the pleasure of the Lord. This should be our motive. That actually, when Gayatri is chanted, or the Maha Mantra, it's for Krishna's pleasure, that we want to give back to him, that we want to actually do it as an act of service for Krishna's pleasure. He wants us he wants to hear our name, his names, you know, on our tongue. It's an appreciation, just like the Brahma Gayatri. It doesn't choose who it helps. It's a glorification of the sun's power, and it's appreciation. It's a prayer of gratitude, actually, and appreciation, which we should give to the Lord. So it descends itself. We can't make it come, but we can continue under the order of our spiritual master until it descends. And it's the spiritual master's instruction is the key, but it's an appreciation, really. It's a glorification that our motive should be to please the spiritual master. He's the via medium. And if we do such, it'll be for the pleasure of Krishna, because that will please Krishna, you know.
Like Jiva Goswami, he says, why does Krishna like to hear his names being sung? It's an interesting point. Why does Krishna like to hear his names being sung? And in one place, Jiva Goswami says, because when Krishna hears his name being chanted sincerely, then he thinks, oh, now I have the opportunity to give that person mercy. So the mercy will come if we try to please Krishna, that we don't have to ask. But in another sense, we are asking. We want mercy. We are, as Gokavinda Maharaj would say, we are prema bhikshu. We are beggars of love. Therefore, Kaviraj Goswami is saying, prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan. Das kori vetan more deha prema dhan. I'm poor, I'm impoverished because I have no love. Das kori, make me your servant. And I'm begging, just give me one salary. Deha prema dhan, give me some prema. Let me develop some real love. Ultimately you're right. Ultimately we want to go to Krishna with no agenda and just say, Krishna, you're amazing. And then all things will come. But thank you. Very nice comment. So I think Taruna's also been waiting a long time. You can't, okay. He's gonna, okay. I'm scared of Taruna, so he's gonna ask me a technical question on Gayatri, you know.
Thank you so much. No, just based on this discussion, I was just thinking, for some of us, we're new practitioners. Mm. You know, we're not even thinking about the Gayatri Mantra just yet, but we're trying to still recalibrate ourselves from the materialistic mindset. Should we not ask Krishna for help whilst...
So what I explained today in terms of the Gayatri Mantra is not just also for Brahminically initiated devotees. Because if you think about the progression that I talked about, that is a progression that every devotee has to go through. What was the first one? Brahma Gayatri, illumination. Get out of the ignorance, you know. Then what is the next one? Guru. I need help. I can't do it alone. I need mercy. Then Gauranga. Yes, we need the grace of Gauranga. Today, the devotees are going out on Sankirtan. There's a marathon. Okay, advert break. At 1 PM, we're all going out in Harrow on Sankirtan. There's a Rath Yatra in Milton Keynes. There's a Saturday night Harinam. There's a marathon. Get out there. Be in the pastimes of Mahaprabhu. You want the mercy of Mahaprabhu? Give the mercy. Give the mercy, then you get the mercy. So that's also, that anyone can do. You don't need a Gayatri mantra to go on door to door. You can do it now. So Gaura Gayatri, getting the mercy. Then let's begin a meditation on Krishna. Gopal, let's hear about Krishna. What does Krishna do? Why did Prabhupada give us Krishna book? Let us meditate on Krishna. And then Karma Gayatri, okay, that's elevated. But that's still, for Gaudiyas, that's their North Star. Aradhyo Bhagavan Rajay Satanayas Tadhama Vrindavanam. We worship Krishna, not just Krishna, Krishna in Vrindavan. That's an important element. So that must always be our North Star, that no, Krishna in Vrindavan is where we're heading. So you may say, well, I don't have Gayatri mantras. It doesn't matter. That's the progression you're going on. Illumination, Guru's grace, Gauranga's mercy, meditation on Krishna, Vrindavan. Everyone can do that. That's the journey. That's the journey of life. Otherwise, what other journey? Here, there, going from this place to that place. Once I went past a travel agent and there was a desert. It was a poster of an Arabian desert. And the caption said, "Keep on exploring." And I was like, yo, this is like material life, you know? It was so ironic. It was just like material life. It's like a desert. Keep on exploring. What are you going to explore in a desert? There's nothing. It's a waste of time. It's all, and even if you come across something, it's a mirage. So what journey you want to go on? So many journeys, so many things to achieve, so many things to do, so many desires, so many plans. And then all of it goes wrong anyway. Rather go on a journey to Vrindavan. And that's an internal journey. The journey within. That wasn't an advert break, but yeah, so that anyone can do, whether you have Brahmin initiation or not. Naham vipro na cha narapatir na pi vaisho na sudra. I'm not a Brahmin. Anyway, what is a Brahmin? I'm not a Brahmin. The devotee went to the Vrindavan temple, isn't it? And then the pujari said, "I bless you. In your next life, you will take birth as a Brahmin." He went back to Prabhupada and said, "Where did you?" He said, "I was taking darshan of all the temples." He said, "Prabhupada, one pujari, he blessed me that in my next life, I will take birth in a Brahmin family." Prabhupada said, "You go back to him and tell him that we bless you that in your next life, you will take birth in the Krishna consciousness movement." Naham vipro na cha narapatiye gopi bhartu dasa dasanuta. I'm just a servant. Become a servant. Then you go to Vrindavan. So, there's no limitation. Prabhupada just opened the treasure house. But all the wealth is there. At the same time, why wouldn't you take Brahmin initiation? It's there. Because if it's there, take it. We need all the help we can get. So take it, but become qualified. And if we take it and we're qualified, we don't know. Sometimes I feel we don't know, myself at least, what we've got in our hand. It's like sometimes you distribute a Bhagavatam to like someone on the street and he's got like a beef burger in one hand and like just cracked some jokes with him and he took a Bhagavatam. It's like he's walking down the street with like a beef burger in one hand and like a Bhagavatam in the other. I'm like, does this guy know what he's holding? He has no idea. He has no idea that he's holding the most advanced, evolved, elevated theology in creation in his hand. the truths that have been passed down over millions of generations, crystallized through thousands of conversations and millions of shlokas, is right there. And he's got a beef burger. But we also like that. You have like a Gayatri mantra. You think, oh, Gayatri, oh God, I missed it. I've got three Gayatris.